Hello, friends. Welcome to another edition of Bill Allen's Facebook Bible Studies. We do this every Tuesday and Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. live on my Facebook page. And they're shared right after that on our West Irwin Live and West Irwin Church of Christ Facebook pages, and also on our website at westirwin.com. That's Irwin, E-R-W-I-N. And then you click over the tabs where it says connect, scroll down and click on the live stream page, scroll down a little bit more, click on view archives, and that's where all of these previous lessons are. Do want to take just a minute and let you know how much I appreciate you all and how much I appreciate all the support. As you probably know, this past Sunday morning I read a statement announcing that I will be stepping into a different role here at West Irwin Church of Christ in Tyler, Texas, remaining here, of course, and excited about that. But we will begin the process of searching for a new preaching minister. I'll be continuing that role while we're looking and until that man gets here and gets settled in. But I will be transitioning to a different role, another full-time minister role, of course. But I'll be doing a lot of other things, not just teaching my classes and continuing to do visitation and education and all kinds of things that a minister gets to do, but relinquishing those preaching duties to another man whose time will come to be that person for our church here at West Irwin. I'm excited about this at 67 years old. We knew this day was coming, as I've said before, and as that statement says, the elders and I have been talking about this for over a couple of years now. Joyce and I have been talking about retirement a whole lot more than we ever did, and this isn't retirement. This isn't even part-time yet. That's a few years down the line, and then retirement a good while past that. But I'm excited about what the Lord has done with us and through us and for us, and how the church has been there for us through 47, 46 years of full-time ministry, 47 years of marriage. And so just a note to say thank you to all of you. Whenever that gentleman does come, again, I will continue to be a full-time minister right here at West Irwin Church of Christ in Tyler, Texas. And yes, the Facebook classes, at least as I plan it, will continue, and I'm excited about that. Speaking of, let's get to it, shall we? Today's lesson continues to look at the preaching and teaching of the prophet Ezekiel. During this time in our reading, our daily Bible readings, we're using the Daily Bible in Chronological Order by Eflagard Smith. But we are in the midst of the exile. The Israelites have been carried off into captivity. The final siege is coming of the city of Jerusalem, but a lot of the people have been taken into exile, and including Ezekiel in the first deportation around 605 BC, Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the best of the best were taken from Jerusalem to Babylon. And then less than 10 years later, Ezekiel and 10,000 others in Jerusalem were taken, including the king. And then ultimately in 586 BC, the city of Jerusalem was destroyed. And Solomon's Grand Temple destroyed, the walls destroyed, everything taken into exile. Right now, Ezekiel is in that in-between time, just before the final destruction of Jerusalem. And so he's seeing visions and hearing the message of God and proclaiming that message to the people in exile. So hello to my friends, Cindy and Eric Mosley. Nice to have you always, and looking forward to this lesson today, because it is a very strong, strong message. I'm going to do a lot of reading. We're going to be in Ezekiel 7, first of all, and I'm going to read the first four verses, and then we'll read the last several. Ezekiel 7, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, this is what the sovereign Lord says to the land of Israel. The end. The end has come upon the four corners of the land. The end is now upon you, and I will unleash my anger against you. I will judge you according to your conduct and repay you for all your detestable practices. I will not look on you with pity. I will not spare you. I will surely repay you for your conduct and for the detestable practices among you. Then you will know that I am the Lord. That statement, then you will know that I am the Lord, or then they will know that I am the Lord. That statement is given several times in this section of the book of Ezekiel. And that really is the problem. The people, even though they were the chosen people, the chosen nation of God, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, still they had not demonstrated with their lives, with their practices, that the Lord is God. And so he says, boy, what haunting words, the end has come. I will judge you according to your conduct and repay you for all your detestable practices. God's patience had worn out. It does that. It takes a long time, but it does that. And it had done that for his own people, his chosen nation, the descendants of Abraham, serving under the king, a descendant of King David, in Jerusalem. God had finally said enough. Towards the end of this chapter, listen to these words in Ezekiel 7, beginning at verse 23. Prepare chains, for the land is full of bloodshed and the city is full of violence. I will bring the most wicked of nations to take possession of their houses. As Habakkuk put it, another prophet that was preaching during the time of Jeremiah and Ezekiel, God said, Habakkuk said, surely you will not use a less righteous nation to punish a more righteous nation. Surely you will not use the pagan, cruel, ruthless Babylonians to punish your people, the Jews. And God says, yes, I will. Yes, I will. And that's what Ezekiel says here. I will bring, verse 24 of Ezekiel 7, I will bring the most wicked of nations to take possessions of their houses. I will put an end to the pride of the mighty, and their sanctuaries will be desecrated. When terror comes, they will seek peace in vain. Calamity upon calamity will come, and rumor upon rumor. They will go searching for a vision from the prophet. Priestly instruction in the law will cease. The council of the elders will come to an end. The king will mourn. The prince will be clothed with despair, and the hands of the people of the land will tremble. I will deal with them according to their conduct, and by their own standards I will judge them. Then they will know that I am the Lord. As we read these words, it's a stern warning to us today, as God's people, the church, that we must remember that how we live is important too. Our practices should not be detestable in the eyes of the Lord, but if we truly believe and know that he is the Lord, then we will take into account what his word says and seek to live accordingly. We turn forward a few chapters in Ezekiel to chapter 12. Ezekiel chapter 12, starting in verse 1. As Ezekiel, remember, is in exile, he's not in Jerusalem, he's not in Judah, he's away, but while he's there, he receives a lot of visions and a lot of instructions to demonstrate to the people who are in exile what's going on in the land of Judah. That's the case in Ezekiel chapter 12. Verse 1, the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, you are living among a rebellious people. They have eyes to see but do not see, and ears to hear but do not hear, for they are a rebellious people. Therefore, son of man, listen to what he has Ezekiel do. Therefore, son of man, pack your belongings for exile, and in the daytime, as they watch, set out and go from where you are to another place. Perhaps they will understand, though they are a rebellious people. During the daytime, while they watch, bring out your belongings packed for exile. Then in the evening, while they are watching, go out like those who go into exile. While they watch, dig through the wall and take your belongings out through it. Put them on your shoulder as they are watching and carry them out at dusk. Cover your face so that you cannot see the land, for I have made you a sign to the Israelites. So I did as I was commanded, acting out this being taken into exile. Verse 7 of Ezekiel 12, so I did as I was commanded. During the day I brought out my things packed for exile. Then in the evening I dug through the wall with my hands. I took my belongings out at dusk, carrying them on my shoulders while they watched. In the morning, the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, did not the Israelites, that rebellious people, ask you, what are you doing? Then say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. This prophecy concerns the prince in Jerusalem, the king, the descendant of David, And all the Israelites who are there, say to them, I am assigned to you. As I have done, so it will be done to them. They will go into exile as captives. In Babylon, Ezekiel is acting out the exile that will go on in Jerusalem. Verse 12 of Ezekiel 12. The prince among them will put his things on his shoulder at dusk and leave, and a hole will be dug in the wall for him to go through. He will cover his face so that he cannot see the land. I will spread my net for him, and he will be caught in my snare. I will bring him to Babylonia, the land of the Chaldeans, but he will not see it, and there he will die. I will scatter to the winds all those around him, his staff and all his troops, and I will pursue them with drawn sword. They will know that I am the Lord when I disperse them among the nations and scatter them through the countries. But I will spare a few of them from the sword, famine, and plague, so that in the nations where they go in exile, they may acknowledge all their detestable practices. Then they will know that I am the Lord. The word of the Lord, verse 17, came to me. Son of man, tremble as you eat your food, and shudder in fear as you drink your water. Say to the people of the land, this is what the sovereign Lord says about those living in Jerusalem and in the land of Israel. They will eat their food in anxiety and drink their water in despair, for their land will be stripped of everything in it because of the violence of all who live there. The inhabited towns will be laid waste, and the land will be desolate. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Are you sensing a pattern? God is trying to tell the Israelites in exile in Babylon, look, it's not going any better in your homeland right now. God is still angry at all of our sins and all of the things that we have done. Well, as we turn a few chapters up to Ezekiel chapter 18, this is some incredible teaching and certainly is important for us to acknowledge even today, the things that Ezekiel says in chapter 18. But first, listen to these words from Eflagard Smith as he introduces this section. It is only natural in times of pending punishment to place the blame on others, to hide behind prior good conduct, or perhaps to take security in one's family or heritage. In one of the clearest passages in all of prophecy, God discredits any notion that the people of Judah are suffering only because of their predecessor's sins, or that they can claim any immunity as descendants of faithful forefathers, such as Abraham. No, each person is accountable for their own sins, says Ezekiel, and God assures his people that just as the wicked can repent and be saved, the righteous can fall into sin and be destroyed. And so listen to these words of Ezekiel in this very important chapter, Ezekiel chapter 18. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you people mean by quoting this proverb about the land of Israel? The parents eat sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, you will no longer quote this proverb in Israel. For everyone belongs to me, the parent as well as the child. Both alike belong to me. The one who sins is the one who will die. And that's the recurring refrain throughout Ezekiel 18. The one who sins is the one who will die. We are accountable for our sins in the eyes of the Lord. Oh, we may face consequences because of our sin. We may face consequences because of the sins of others. And they may face consequences because of our sins. But when we stand before God, we are judged individually. When we stand before God, it is the righteousness of the righteous that are upon them and the wickedness of the wicked that are upon them. And it's illustrated in this little children's rhyme. You could see them, if it were today, you would say they're saying this while they're jumping rope. The parents eat sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. So the children are bearing the consequences of the parents. And to some extent, that's true. I mean, those children that are born in exile, those children that are taken into exile, they are facing the consequences of their parents and grandparents and great-grandparents' sin. But when they stand before God, that's not the case. And God makes it very clear, the one who sins is the one who will die. We continue reading in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 3. Suppose there is a righteous man who does what is just and right. Ezekiel 18, verse 3. He does not eat at the mountain shrines or look at the idols of Israel. He does not defile his neighbor's wife or have sexual relations with a woman during her period, according to the law that was condemned. He does not oppress anyone, but returns what he took in pledge for a loan. He does not commit robbery, but gives his food to the hungry and provides clothing for the naked. He does not lend them at interest or take a profit from them. He withholds his hand from doing wrong and judges fairly between two parties. He follows my decrees and faithfully keeps my laws. That man is righteous. He will surely live, declares the sovereign Lord. Now, the other side of the coin, continuing, verses 10 through 20 of Ezekiel 18. Suppose this righteous man has a violent son who sheds blood or does any of those other things, though the father has done none of them. He eats at the mountain shrines, idolatry. He defiles his neighbor's wife, adultery. He oppresses the poor and the needy. He commits robbery. He does not return what he took in pledge. He's dishonest. He looks to the idols. He does detestable things. He lends at interest and takes a profit. Condemned under the law of Moses to lend at a profit, especially an exorbitant profit, to your own people. Ezekiel 18 continues, will such a man live? He will not. Because he has done all these detestable things, he is to be put to death. His blood will be on his own head. So you have a man who is righteous, and he will live. You have his son who is unrighteous and sinful, and he will bear the consequences of that. But, he goes on to say, suppose this son has a son who sees all the sins his father commits, and though he sees them, he does not do such things. And we think of men like Hezekiah and Josiah that we've read about. He does not eat at the mountain shrines or look to the idols of Israel. He does not defile his neighbor's wife. He does not oppress anyone or require a pledge for a loan. He does not commit robbery, but gives his food to the hungry and provides clothing for the naked. He withholds his hand from mistreating the poor and takes no interest or profit from them. He keeps my laws and follows my decrees. He will not die for his father's sin. He will surely live. But his father will die for his own sin, because he practiced extortion, robbed his brother, and did what was wrong among his people. Yet you ask, why does the son not share the guilt of his father? Since the son has done what is just and right, and has been careful to keep all my decrees, he will surely live. Now note Ezekiel 18, verse 20, very significant verse. The one who sins is the one who will die. The child will not share the guilt of the parent, nor will the parent share the guilt of the child. The righteousness of the righteous will be credited to them, and the wickedness of the wicked will be charged against them. Again, remember, this is not talking about physical consequences or earthly consequences of sin, our sin and other sin. Sometimes that does happen. Sometimes we pay the consequences of someone else's sin. Sometimes we have families that are innocent that are in an automobile crash because of a drunk driver. And they're damaged and perhaps lives are taken or injured. That is the consequences of someone else's sin. But that's not what this passage is talking about. This passage is talking about eternal consequences. Who is eternally accountable for the sin that you see? Well, Ezekiel 18, verse 20, again, the one who sins is the one who will die. The child will not share the guilt of the parent, nor will the parent share the guilt of the child. The righteousness of the righteous will be credited to them, and the wickedness of the wicked will be charged against them. Now we continue reading in verse 21. But if a wicked person turns away from all the sins they have committed, and keep all my decrees and does what is just and right, that person will surely live. They will not die. A wicked person can repent. None of the offenses they have committed will be remembered against them. Because of the righteous things they have done, they will live. Do I take any pleasure in the death of the wicked? Declares the sovereign Lord. Rather, am I not pleased when they turn from their ways and live? And we think of 2 Peter 3, God is not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. That's what he wants. That's why the world hasn't been destroyed. That's why Jesus hasn't returned yet. Not because there's some prophecy that needs to happen. No, no, those are all fulfilled. But because God gives the individual person who is wicked one more day, one more chance to repent and to come to life. Why? Because God doesn't take any pleasure in the death of the wicked. God wants everyone to be saved. He is pleased when they turn from their ways and live. That's what God wants. And we keep reading in verse 24 of Ezekiel 18. But if a righteous person turns from their righteousness and commits sin and does the same detestable things the wicked person does, will they live? So you have a righteous person now who decides they're not going to serve God anymore. Will they live? None of the righteous things that person has done will be remembered. Because of the unfaithfulness they are guilty, and because they are guilty of, and because of the sins they have committed, they will die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. Hear, you Israelites, Ezekiel says, is my way unjust? Speaking for the Lord. Is it not your ways that are unjust? Not God's ways, our ways. If a righteous person turns from their righteousness and commits sin, they will die for it. Because of the sin they have committed, they will die. But if a wicked person turns away from the wickedness they have committed and does what is just and right, they will save their life. Because they consider all the offenses they have committed and turn away from them, that person will surely live. They will not die. Yet the Israelites say, the way of the Lord is not just. Are my ways unjust, people of Israel? Is it not your ways that are unjust? God is saying, you're the ones that have sinned, not me. Therefore, you Israelites, the end of chapter 18, I will judge each of you according to your ways, declares the Lord. Repent, turn away from all your offenses, then sin will not be your downfall. Rid yourselves of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, people of Israel? For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent and live. What a scary thing. I will judge each of you according to your own ways, declares the sovereign Lord. We're thankful that we have forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ. Scripture says in 1 John 1, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what Ezekiel is telling the people to do. We're bearing the consequences of sin. Don't stay there. God takes no pleasure in punishment. He wants us to live. He wants to bless us. I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent and live. That's what we truly see. The one who sins is the one who will die. The righteousness of the righteous will be upon them. The wickedness of the wicked will be upon them. It's the soul that sins that God will take into account for their sinfulness, but it's also the soul who repents of their sin that God will hear. 1 John 1, verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us, purifies us from all our sin. One more passage from the book of Ezekiel, and this is in chapter 12. Ezekiel chapter 11, starting in verse 14. Because you see, Ezekiel has had a very hard message for the people, but just like with many of the other prophets that we have seen, Micah, Amos, Hosea, there is also a word of comfort, a word of restoration, a word that supports what Ezekiel has just said in chapter 18, when he says, it's the soul that sins that will die, but if that person who is a sinner repents and comes before me, then I will forgive. I will not judge them based on their sin, but rather I will judge them based on my mercy. And that's what God wants. That's what God wants for you today, my friend. That's what God wants for our nation and for all nations on this earth. But that's what he wants specifically for his people, for his chosen nation, for the church, so that we can be that witness in the world. Listen to these promises, and we'll close with these words, this wonderful passage in Ezekiel chapter 11, starting in verse 14. Ezekiel 11, verse 14. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, the people of Jerusalem have said of your fellow exiles and all the other Israelites, they are far away from the Lord. This land was given to us as our possession. That's what the people who stayed back were saying about those who were now in exile. But Ezekiel says that's not the truth. Verse 16 of Ezekiel 11, therefore say, this is what the sovereign Lord says, although I sent them far away among the nations and scattered them among the countries, yet for a little while I have been a sanctuary for them in the countries where they have gone. I'm still with them, God said. Even in Babylon, I'm still with them. Verse 17, therefore say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will gather you from the nations and bring you back from the countries where you have been, where you have been scattered, and I will give you back the land of Israel once again. They will return to it and remove all its vile images and detestable idols. I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Then they will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. They will be my people, and I will be their God. But as for those whose hearts are devoted to their vile images and detestable idols, I will bring down on their own heads what they have done, declares the sovereign Lord. God says, I'll bring you back. Jeremiah had said 70 years, and then he'll bring you back. So while you're in exile, get comfortable, buy a house, buy land, plant a garden, take a wife. But remember the Lord while you're there, even in exile, because you are still his people, and he is still with your God, and he is there with you. And he will bless you, and one day he will bring you back. And when you do return, destroy all those places of idolatrous worship, renew the covenant once again, serve and follow the Lord when he brings you back, because Ezekiel promises he will. He will. Whether you're far away or whether you're close by, God wants you to be with him, and he has promised that he will be with you if you will turn to him in a clear spirit, that is a heart of that is undivided, as he puts it, an undivided heart and a new spirit. That's what God wants for you. That's what God wants for all of us. We're all created in his image. And so may God bless each of you, each of us, as we seek to follow him wholeheartedly with an undivided heart and a new spirit wherever we might be. God bless you, and I'll see you Thursday.